Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, which shares answers for healing and infinite love as we explore spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, miracles, and intuitive ways to understand energy and our life force. Today I welcome Joan Gattuso, author of The Power of Forgiveness, which offers tools to help you move past pain into an inspired life of goodness, health, and happiness. Joan is a Unity minister who has served in Cleveland for over 30 years and now resides with her husband in Hawaii. Hello, Joan, and thank you for joining us.
Oh, hello, Cheryl. Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
Joan, you know, as listeners of Healing From Within have come to expect, and they know, my guests and I seek to establish within our own awareness and practice the gift of love and kindness by understanding the physical world and its challenges to our soul and inner personal power that is often in conflict. And we go beyond this to remember the world of truth and a new awareness of life and death, leading to a more balanced, healthy, happy, and purposeful life experience. In today's story, Joan will share her understanding of how everything in our life helps us to move past disappointments and hardship to find within ourselves the power of forgiveness, which actually brings us forward to healing and to freedom. Joan, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and to remember an event or a person or values that may have impacted their interests and helped them become the person they are today.
So, first time I've been asked that, Cheryl. Okay, well, the first thing that arises in me for my answer would be, I was a very devout child. I was raised Catholic, and I would have an altar to Mary in May, and I love St. Joseph, and I would have a little altar to St. Joseph, and I used to go to Mass every day, even through college, which I went to a state school in Ohio. Believe me, Mass was not a requirement. I was always a devout child, and I think that that devotion I had from an early age led me onto the path I was to pursue in my adulthood, which I stepped onto this path very young. Very young I stepped into the metaphysical path, the path of spirituality.
You see, that's funny because I wasn't raised particularly with a religious background, yet as a little girl I always loved God and I knew there was something bigger, and I always spoke, maybe just talking to something above, an energy or feeling that I was surrounded by something. And in time I came to understand it further, not so much through the religious concepts, but through the metaphysical understanding of science, science and spirituality. But we were similar. I would not think of myself as a devout child, but I was a very devoted and loving child. So perhaps that's the same thing. Yeah.
How sweet. Absolutely. Very sweet.
All right. So we'll go on because I see you have an endorsement for your book from James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy. And I very fondly remember that many years ago, a friend told me everybody was reading that book. So I picked it up. And that was the beginning for me to enter a new and metaphysical approach beyond the five senses to understanding energy and what we just talked about in childhood, that love that I had unknowingly, and the forces of universal source or life or God or spirit, whatever you wish to call it. And it opened up a new perspective on what life was really about, who we really were, and the scheme of evolution and eternal life. So tell us about the great evolutionary leap in human relationships that you talk about in your book.
Oh my goodness, this is a question for Jean Houston. I studied with her for 2 years. I used to go to this Y camp in upstate New York and one weekend a month for 2 years and studied with her. She was a fabulous teacher. She is a fabulous teacher. Because we're not fractured beings, Cheryl. We're not compartmentalized beings. That we are of one consciousness when we get through all of that which separates us and distinguishes parts of ourself from another part of ourself. Underneath, there is a oneness. And that's what I endeavor to know within myself, to teach other people to realize within themselves.
Yeah, to find your way forward to forgiveness, it's necessary for you to understand that concept or to live it. If you don't even understand it, if you bring everything together with inclusion, it's more possible to find forgiveness and peace. I would agree with you.
To be willing to forgive, the hurts from the past, the nasty encounters that we've had, the dastardly beings, whether it's on a corporate level or a personal level, whether it's with a sibling or a neighbor or a teacher, a parent, that we come to realize that we have to forgive these people if we want to have a free life. I had heard this just the other day, and I actually wrote it down. It's right here on my desk. It's attributed to Jennifer Wirth, who is the author of that series. It's on here in Hawaii now called The Midwife. It's a PBS series. But she wrote, forgiveness doesn't excuse their behavior. Forgiveness prevents their behavior from destroying your heart. Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, how wonderfully says that. Yes, beautifully. Yeah. But I want to tell you, Joan, I often have many spiritual coincidences with my guests. We just had one with Jean Houston, who was one of your teachers and a guest on this show. But when I was reading your book, I was smiling a lot because at the beginning of your book, you mention a Cheryl with an S.
And that's pretty unusual, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And then there was Greg with two G's, which is my son, Greg. And then there was Andy and my daughter on a soap opera many years ago. That was her role, and she brought a lot of awareness about diabetes to the public as a child who had diabetes. And then there was Richard Levy that you mentioned. I had a cousin, Richard Levy, and my maiden name was Levy. And then both our husbands are David. So I believe, as I wrote in my first book, life is no coincidence. We are brought to the people and situations that will delight and serve us in finding one of the greatest healing elements, which is forgiveness and love. So I just wanted to share that with you, and it was very amusing. Now let's go on to tell the simple yet powerful principles to overcoming guilt and blame and resentment and how to forgive when forgiveness seems impossible. And there are times when it does seem that way. I mean, we have terrorists now throughout the world causing murder and disaster. It's very hard to forgive what seems impossible. And then there was, you mentioned in your book, Thich Quang Duc, a Vietnamese Buddhist monk, and what he had to overcome, and Mahatma Gandhi, all people who lived with great suffering and learned to open their heart to great beauty and forgiveness. So tell us about it. How do we begin?
Well, I put those extreme examples in, Cheryl, because if those individuals could come to a place in their consciousness where they realize the importance and the value of forgiveness, our issues, generally speaking, are so much less. So much less.
Yes.
We make them huge. They're huge in our own mind. But, you know, the Dalai Lama forgave the Chinese communist who overtook his country and murdered 1 million Tibetans, 1 million, and destroyed thousands of monasteries and thousands of temples, and he forgave them. So can you forgive your mother-in-law? You know, okay, she's an impossible person, but can't you just find it in your heart to forgive her? You know, she didn't burn your house down or slaughter your children. We need to find in our hearts to forgive our grievances, the people that have hurt us. So I put those extreme examples in because Oh, my goodness gracious. If they can forgive, then cannot we? This one monk, I'm sorry, I don't have his name at the tip of my mind, but he was in prison for decades by the Chinese communists. And when he finally was released, he went to see the Dalai Lama, which was quite an arduous journey for him to get there. And the Dalai Lama asked him, this man was in prison for decades, beaten regularly, starved, suffered terribly. And the Dalai Lama said, were you ever afraid? And this holy man said, only once. I was afraid when they were beating me, I would lose my compassion.
That is a person who is more soul and spirit than they are of the physical world, because they realize
absolutely.
The physical world and everything here is impermanent, and that we are eternal, and our energy absorbs the beauty and wants to hold that more than it wants to hold the suffering and the pain. That's so wonderful.
Absolutely.
But it takes a very loving, kind person to forgive, and we have to work towards being consistent in knowing that we are more than we appear to be. We forget that very often, and that's why these little trivial matters start to irritate us or upset us, because we're losing track of who we really are as energy beings having a physical life and here to explore and gather experiences and be more positive and purposeful, mindful in how we use our thoughts so we can create a better reality for ourselves and for others. And when we focus on that more, it's sort of like forgiveness becomes part of who we are. Just loving and just accepting and just not falling into the negative energies of blame and judgment and anger and regression, right, and worrying about the past. So we're going forward.
Cheryl. I believe very, very strongly, and I have taught for many, many years, that we can't just say, okay, I'm going to forgive this son of a gun because I heard Cheryl and this other woman on the radio today. So I'm going to forgive you for all the dastardly things you've done. We need techniques.
Yes.
Forgiveness isn't something we do in our head. It's something we have to get into the very core of our being. So in the power of forgiveness, I offer a lot of techniques, and many of them have to do with writing. I think that's because I am a writer, so I've always resonated towards writing techniques. But, you know, with my former husband, who was so unkind to me, so cruel, he did die last year, and I had a few moments of angst, and then I just blessed him on the great journey of his soul. But I worked for 5 years to forgive him for the ways that he practically tortured me. Now, believe me, he did not keep me tied to a pole in the basement and throw me food every couple days. But I kept myself tied in that situation because I didn't feel strong enough and capable enough to leave. And once I left, I started writing, and I'll share this technique if you'd like me to, that I have found to be most effective.
Yeah, Joan, you tell a story, I think, that has to do with this, where you officiated at a funeral, and when you were not paid, you called the family, and they hung up on you. You weren't so upset about the time that you had given, but for the rude action of hanging up. And it's unbelievable to me when people do such harmful things, but they are just not evolved enough. They don't see the big picture. They haven't gotten to understand who they are and to be kind to people and to take responsibility for their actions. But you gave the solution there about the writing, and I just wanted to bring that story in because I liked it a lot.
Yeah, of all my stories, that was my publisher's favorite story, because he too is an ordained minister, and he said, I can't believe somebody did that to you. I said, well, they did. They did. And, you know, totally felt like my time was worth nothing, but
right.
They got paid for their jobs, and this happened to be my job. And sometimes people don't quite realize that a clergy person, sometimes we live on the donations people give us. It's not always the best position to be in, but that's just the way it is. But if you don't receive, it Yes, I can't call the bank and say, I didn't get paid this month by the people I served.
I understand. And you know what? As a Reiki energy practitioner, I help a lot of people. I do a lot of charity work. And sometimes people come to see you as that kind of holy person, and they don't think you should be paid for the work you're doing because it's coming, you know, from spirit. I understand. That's why perhaps I like the story. But how did you handle that story? Tell our audience how you handled it.
I was aghast. Right when this happened, my secretary walked into my office, and I couldn't stop saying to her, she hung up on me. She hung up on me. I couldn't quite process that this woman, who her mother had adored me, I did a phenomenal service for her mother. It was standing room only. And then the daughter hangs up on me and never paid me a nickel. And I had spent hours. I calculated. I spent 8 hours putting that funeral service together. 8 hours. That did include, like, the hour and a half of delivery. So let's say I spent 6.5 preparing and an hour and a half to deliver. And I couldn't believe she hung up on me. But I had to forgive her because this woman that died, and talk about coincidences, I couldn't remember her name today. It's funny, I thought of her earlier today, and then her name was Dina, and somebody came on TV, and her name was Dina. I thought, of course, her name was Dina. Yeah. There it was. There it was just dropped in my lap. But Dina loved me so much, and I loved her. So I just had to forgive the daughters because the daughters were very much asleep. I like to say people are asleep rather than they're just, you know, mean, nasty, bitchy people. Yes. I'd rather say they're asleep because we can't behave in such unskilled ways unless we're asleep.
Right.
We can't be so unkind to other people unless we are asleep and we think that unskilled behavior is allowable. No, we're asleep. And so these two daughters, they were definitely asleep.
Another word is unconscious or not mindful. Of course, in time, everyone will get there, whether in this lifetime or beyond this lifetime. But how did you handle it? First, I know you meditated on the upset. And then what did you do?
I began working on forgiving them. Forgiving the daughter, it was especially the older daughter, forgiving her for what I called her unskilled behavior, forgiving her for not realizing that everybody is due remuneration for their labor, forgiving her for being ignorant of that, and forgiving her for being so unkind to me.
Well, you also wrote the sisters never paid. You wrote a letter.
I never sent it. Now, my board of directors at my church, they wanted me to send them a bill, and I said, I can't do that. You know, I cannot do that. They know their responsibility, and God will take care of me. So God takes it. My husband and I live here in Hawaii. I am 50 feet from the Pacific Ocean, an unobstructed view of the Pacific Ocean.
How beautiful.
And I will tell you, Cheryl, we live on Social Security. I was in the pulpit for 34 years. This is so embarrassing. I never got retirement. I always thought it would come, and it never came. And then I became very ill, and I had to retire quite quickly. And I didn't have retirement. And you know what? I mean, somebody gave me $600 today. It comes all the time because I know that God is my source. God supplies our every need, and the money just comes, and it doesn't come from a retirement account. It comes from consciousness, and that's one important thing that I just stressed, that life is consciousness. If anybody's taking notes, write that down.
When you do what you were born to do, and you love what you do, and you do it out of respect for a higher power or spirit or divine source, we will be taken care of. It will happen.
It's true.
You just showed it in what you just expressed. I always say faith is like holding on to a balloon. You know, it wants to float away. It's on this thin cord. But as you pull it closer and hold it, it becomes part of you and the joy it brings to you. I think that's a wonderful story. But I also want to read something that you wrote, how to forgive someone who has caused us pain. And sometimes life has caused many people pain, just the process of living and trying to survive in a physical world. So you wrote this. When you remember that forgiveness is the gift we give ourselves and the refusal to be the victim or controlled by another, we find a quiet heart, peace of mind, freedom from anxiety, a calm countenance, a healthy body, joy in your heart. Why do people insist on holding on to the pain? Perhaps because it is familiar. Perhaps it is a habit. Perhaps the person has yet to consider there would be a way out. No matter what the circumstances or events, there is always a way out. And in my book, The Living Spirit, I wrote something similar. The key is to realize that each person perceives the world according to his or her experiences from this life and past incarnations. Therefore, we cannot hope to understand every aspect of another person's behavior. Remember that we are all spiritual beings having a human experience. Everyone is trying on varying levels to find their way. All you can do is stay in a positive state of allowing and accepting love. So there it is. That's how we can find our way. That is what the process is all about.
Let's focus on forgiving ourselves, too, because we hurt ourselves very frequently.
Very, very good point.
We hurt ourselves. We need to forgive ourselves. Now, I had to forgive myself for going into that painful marriage. Was the handwriting on the wall? Absolutely. But I was illiterate. I couldn't read it. And I had to forgive myself for going into that marriage and for staying. We were actually living together for a year and a half, but total time together was 6 years. But we were a year and a half living in the same household. But it was pretty much miserable all the time. Go ahead.
But, Joan, every experience has value, every relationship. And probably that was part of your plan and brought you to another understanding and level. You didn't make a mistake. There are no mistakes. Everything is happening for a way for us to fulfill our destiny and our need to go beyond a certain karma or a certain limitation. So
I would not be who I am if I had married him.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And what would I know about forgiveness if I didn't have anything to forgive?
Right. So as I say, yes, there are painful moments in our lives, painful experiences, people we deal with who don't treat us the way we wish to be treated. You know, there is a law, treat others the way you wish to be treated. And we're doing it by and large, but sometimes others don't respond. But that's okay. There will be someone else who will respond to us with love and goodwill. And so we just have to work on ourselves, as you're saying, and I'm glad you brought that up about self-love, because that is the first and foremost way to know yourself and to approach forgiveness. I want to thank you, Joan Gattuso, author of The Power of Forgiveness, for sharing the miraculous wisdom you share from A Course in Miracles, and for the marvelous intuitive stories of the many people you have met who have enhanced your own journey of personal awareness, leading to the peace and love of forgiveness, faith, and trust in the universal plan. For more information and to purchase this thoughtful book, go to joangattuso.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, we have discovered once again that the freedom to live and love in harmony and peace resides within your budding or awakening soul, and remembering the alignment to all that is effective for your continuous growth and to know again, prosperity has always been with you since the beginning of your life. As Joan reminds us and wrote, working with our divine helpers needs our attention for a lifetime. Unless we have attained complete spiritual enlightenment, we will still have grievances against others. When we hold a grievance against another person, we have forgotten who we are. In such a situation, we play small, and in our role of play acting, we take on the role of a victim. Holding a grievance splits us from our divine self, from our compassion, from our holiness. As difficult as it may seem to be in some situations, forgiveness always has a place in our minds. But if we are to know peace, and our troubled mind is to find rest and remember who we are, forgiveness is essential. Joan and I would have you remember that life is not happening to us, but for us, always in the right way and right time, so we may become the best version of ourselves, and along the line, learn to laugh and chuckle and appreciate each happening and person in our life for the opportunity they afford us to learn the complete truth about ourselves and to continue to grow and learn greater compassion and love. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and I invite you to visit my website, cherylglick.com, where you may spend time listening and reading about my work and authors who also explore the realities of life and beyond in a most refreshing and unbiased approach for discovering our true nature and the purpose of a physical life experience. Shows may also be heard on DreamVision7Radio.com and WebTalkRadio.net. Thank you.